Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
If you have not had a chance to see our beer getting canned, fresh Hey Man coming your way, they sent us a nice video today. We put it out there at Put 'em Up, See Dukes. Mike Bell, ATL, and Oconee Brewing is getting it done. So some new Hey Man Ale headed your way, guys. Both the original OG, the 5% alcohol blonde ale, and the watermelon lime. Get some today. Mike and I have been busy today, man. We've been spending a lot of time on the Braves. Final game tonight, and this hour, we're going to get a chance to catch up with our buddy Dave O'Brien. Grant McCauley will join us as well as we'll break down the game coming up. But this is a big one because, again, if you let the Mets end up splitting this series, those two first games, yes, it was nice. They felt good, but you needed to win this series. And the way we do that is win tonight. It'd be 3-1. Mike, you cut this lead, this deficit, as they leave town, and you know you got three more with them, but there's still a lot of baseball to play. We were also talking about last night and the way Schnitt, who was out of the game, okay, he got thrown out, but how they decided to manage the bullpen and how much that might have played a role in last night's loss.
Yeah, I really would like to have seen other options in that game because after being down 6-1 and finally getting DeGrom knocked out of the game, you know, the Mets, it looked like, okay, there's a bit of a stutter here. They're on the ropes. I know they bring in Edwin Diaz, and obviously he shut things down at the bottom of the eighth. But the top of the ninth, they roll out with Jackson Stevens, and you and I were debating whether or not Snicker was passing notes to Walt Weiss. But I just don't know why you wouldn't go with Iglesias, and Snit, we'll play the sound for you a little bit later, explains why they were doing that. But you feel like, you know, you battled back in only to have your heart kind of broken in the top of the ninth. And they did battle back in the bottom of the ninth and made it close.
Absolutely they did. I mean,
we're not going to do that.
Come on, Snit.
Come on, use Iglesias.
Vaughn Grissom with the two-run single in the ninth. You're going, okay, we got a shot. We got a chance. It's all about the approach. These are big games. And I know this is not, you know, May or June anymore. So we'll ask Dave O'Brien about it. We'll also get into the new contracts for Michael Harris and all that's going on with the Braves coming up here in about 20 minutes. We also had a conversation with Landry Fields, Hawks general manager. You'll hear that coming up next hour. He talked about Trey Young, DeJounte Murray.
And an attitude adjustment, too, wanting to have a little more dog in this team for this season.
I hope we do. We need that. Let's talk about our Falcons, though, guys, because they are headed to New York. They're going to practice up there, joint practices with the Jets. That's going to happen Friday and Saturday. Sunday will be an off day. Then Monday they'll actually play the Jets in the second preseason game. But one of the things, Mike, we've been trying to figure out, and this has been all camp long, okay? Deion Jones, he's on the physically unable to perform list. Now, he can come off of this list at any point. But once the season starts, then you get into these dates where you're not allowed to return after a certain point. And in some cases, you might not be able to return depending on how, you know, the team handles it. Either way, Jones has had off-season shoulder surgery. And when we were up there the last couple of weeks, we were saying, listen, he hasn't participated. He hasn't been playing. As a matter of fact, if you look at the last game, it's two guys that we've been talking a lot about. And that's Rashawn Evans and Michael Walker. Those two guys have been working with the first team defense and starting together. But Mike, Deion Jones says, yeah, I'm close. He's close to coming off the PUP list. So let me ask you, is he going to come off the PUP list, not be traded potentially, and end up playing for this team? I don't know about you guys, but obviously there's been something going on here that hasn't allowed him to come off the PUP list sooner. He should have been working and being, you know, more involved, in my opinion. Now, he's been working on the side. But, Mike, is Deion Jones going to be on this team?
Well, we kind of thought they may try to find somebody who needs a linebacker, especially if you're going for, you know, kind of where the NFL is for a guy that can, you know, do a better job. Probably does a better job in pass coverage than you could argue Rashawn Evans, part of the reason why he wasn't retained in Tennessee. So if you're going to keep him, you know, we talked about 20 mil. I want to get $20 million work out of him if I'm going to have him. That doesn't mean a situational linebacker, Carl. I want him out there, right? So do you think it'll still maybe shop him, or maybe a team that has an injury is looking for a linebacker and we move him for a third or a fourth rounder?
Well, remember, his deal has not been touched. Okay, they didn't renegotiate. They didn't do any of that stuff. So he's got the team's highest salary cap number. It's $20 million for the 2022 season. So The Falcons are also guaranteed Jones' 2022 salary of $9.6 million. He had 2 years left on his contract. We could get into the semantics of this, but the bottom line is we're paying him a lot of money. And if he's going to be here, he's got to be on the field. And if he's going to be here, Mike, he's got to be productive. Right. This cannot be a situation where he's just out there. So here's what's interesting. And if you go back, it's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we asked Coach about this, we asked Coach Arthur Smith about it. He said, this was the quote, Mike, all we're trying to do here is get the right guys. It's a competition, and that's the nature of the NFL. So that group, he meant the linebacker group, however it shakes out, I've said many times, it's no secret, there's an open competition. That didn't sound like he was promising Deion Jones back when a job, even when he came off the PUP list.
And one of the things we discussed from Falcons camp is we've gone with more physicality, bigger size in the linebacker core in this R3-4 base because one of the worst teams in the NFL, teams ran it down our throat. We lost that game to Carolina. We lost the game to Washington. Everybody was running on us. So that's part of the reason why they want to get more physical, although some would say it's a bit anachronistic in the 2022 NFL where everybody's passing and you're so focused on the nickel-type package. Either way, he seems to be the odd man out in a Dean Pease defense. But if he's coming back, at least he's viable, Carl, if nothing else, to be traded. Look, it's a hard knock life. Debo is great. Doesn't fit this defense.
All right. Your thoughts are welcome at 404-741-0929. Meanwhile, Braylon Edwards is our other wide receiver. He's wide receiver two. Wide receiver Brian Edwards is wide receiver number two. Number one is Drake London. But we're not going to see Drake London.
Nope, and we're not going to get to see Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati versus Drake London. And there was some talk we might go with Sauce. Remember that? We had talked about maybe going corner. But in this case, he is on ice. They're not giving the specifics on the return or the timetable when we're going to see him. I think you and I are both of the opinion, based on how Arthur Smith is answering those questions, he's going to be shut down for the rest of camp.
Let's hear Brian Edwards talk about these joint practices as they get ready to go up and practice against the Jets. It's always good to get different work in with, against different guys. Here's Brian Edwards.
Absolutely.
In the preseason?
Absolutely. They're a lot more intense than the games because, you know, it's practice. Like, everybody has, they feel like they have something to prove, and it's just a different atmosphere than the game, you know, with the whistles and how it's controlled and how people are kind of, is it thud? Are we tackling? Are we not tackling? Is this too hard of a tackle? So there's a lot of gray areas when it comes to those joint practices.
It's a time for you to go up against different competition. Mm-hmm. I wish, I said this to Mike yesterday, even on the air, I wish we'd see a little bit of this. They're trying to get real work in. Some of this stuff they don't want you to see because it's real season stuff. Other stuff is these one-on-one drills, Mike. Let me see Caleb McGarry go up against some of these guys on the Jets and see what that looks like compared to some of our guys. Either way, Brian Edwards was talking about guys stepping up in the absence of Drake London. I want you to hear what he said about Frank Darby.
You know, that type of energy is something that I kind of missed in, you know, while I was in Vegas. You know, you don't meet too many guys like that who come, you know, happy and just ready to play football every day. And energy is infectious, so it kind of rubs off on me. And it rubs off on the unit. And, I appreciate his energy.
I just hope he can make some plays.
He's the one-man hype team.
Thank you, Frank.
Frank is the guy. Yes, infectious, as we said, more grip, less lip if you want to keep yourself on the team. Special teams obviously is going to be his calling card because there's so much size and depth in the wide receiver room. We did not mention this yesterday. Hey, man, we picked up Keyshawn Johnson.
What?
No, the other one. That's K-E-E, Sean Johnson. He's bounced around the league.
All right.
But that's another body. And I guess you and I were of the opinion we'd probably want to get, you know, more size in the, and I guess, defensive line. I guess they're happy with what they've got right now. But, wide receiver, Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State. And he has played with Arizona, Philly, San Fran as well. So, but it's the other one. Anyway, hey, man, we will play the Browns on week 4. And now we know 100% we're not going to see Deshaun Watson. We'll spend more time on this in the 6. Nobody is happy with the ruling, at least certainly outside of Deshaun Watson's camp, Carl. 11 games at a $5 million fine, which, as you said earlier, didn't really amount to anything as far as losing salary because they kind of gerrymandered the contract.
He's going to lose $632,000 salary this year because of the way the structure of this contract. It's not about the money, though. This is more about the NFL – getting their blood, Mike, making sure that this publicly, this looks like, you know what, this is the kind of punishment that they should have deemed the first time around. Now, it wasn't left up to them. That was Sue Robinson.
Right.
But this second arbitrator didn't even get a chance to rule because the NFL and the Players Association came to this ruling or this agreement of 11 games and a $5 million fine.
And they had that wiggle room built in. Nobody understands the process. It's convoluted. Doesn't make a lot of sense. One thing for certain, the NFL has created a real blank storm because they've never gotten player discipline right, especially when it comes to the mishandling and mistreatment of women. I think we can all agree on that one. And this is just another chapter in that sordid story. Hey, I just mentioned no Deshaun for week four. What if I told you no Tom Brady for week five?
What are you talking about?
Well, Todd Bowles today, speaking with the media, says he has no idea when Tom Brady is coming back. He said there's no definitive date for Tom Brady's return to the Buccaneers.
Wait a minute. I thought it was the week three of the preseason and he was supposed to be back. It was only going to be 10 days. What are you talking about?
Well, he's supposed to be back by August 20th. That was the initial timeline they had supposedly agreed to. And again, there's a lot of speculation, and no one knows. Initially, the thoughts were, and heaven forbid it was Tom Brady's mom dealing with cancer, which she beat back in 16. But a lot of people down in Tampa Bay, a little confused about just what's going on with Tom Brady.
I'm confused.
Hey, one last nugget. No confusion about Marlon Davidson. He's never healthy. Our buddy Michael Rothstein reports from ESPN.com that Marlon Davidson had his right knee scoped this morning. So, more missed time for a guy that can never seem to be on the field.
Oh, he didn't play. He did not play in the first preseason game either.
Nope.
And that may be why. All right, coming up, Dave O'Brien. We will talk to Dave about all things Braves, including what this Michael Harris contract means and what about Dansby. Dave O'Brien from The Athletic joins us next to talk about our Braves.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
It is Dukes and Bell getting ready for Braves-Mets. It's game four of this four-game set. It's a great pitching matchup, man. Jacob DeGrom taking on Max Fried tonight. I said to Mike, this could be one of those 2-1, you know, 1-0 kind of games or 3-2 low scoring because the pitchers are so good. But we'll see. You know, you just never know. We've not been able to get to DeGrom, Mike, but maybe that changes tonight.
Hey, had a no-hitter going at Citi Field until Dansby went with the 2-run home run to break it up, and then he got the gate. But it's going to be runs certainly at a premium, you could argue, tonight if Max is dealing.
All right, we're going to talk to Dave O'Brien coming up. Grant McCauley is on the way as well. As we've been talking about the Braves, guys, a couple of things that are interesting, and we're going to ask Dave this once we get him on here. But, Mike, and this is interesting. Mike Soroka is going to start in Gwinnett on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, for a guy that hasn't pitched in 2 years and had back-to-back Achilles injuries, and, you know, you and I talked about it yesterday, I thought it might be a pipe dream to get him back this year. I mean, I know it's high A in Rome, but, I mean, if he had gone in there, Carl, I mean, throwing balls on the backstop and guys are hitting him and hitting home runs.
It'd be a different conversation.
He was dealing. So, hey, let's take it as far as you can, obviously under the advisement of the Braves medical staff, but this is great news.
Yeah, I don't know. He says he feels great. He looked great. That was in his first rehab assignment that happened in Rome on Tuesday night.
And with Odorizzi looking like a bum, we need this guy. I mean, I didn't think we did say we. I mean, look, you always need a guy who's been money. He was one of the money guys on this roster before the injuries. I need him up here.
Well, he may be here because I just think that this is going a lot faster and better than expected. And if that is the case, again, this is more firepower for the Braves when you talk about potentially adding Mike Soroka. Now, what are the expectations? Let's just say we get him back, okay? I don't know if you're talking about him starting a playoff game, but, Mike, you got a guy that can help you. We've said this. Starting pitchers in the playoffs, sometimes they come out of the bullpen. Sometimes they're guys that can be your long relief guys. It just depends on the situation. So, I just find it fascinating that all of a sudden, here we are in late August, mid-August, talking about the idea that Soroka might make his way back, and he's going from Rome to all of a sudden Gwinnett. And, Mike, if he looks good there, why wouldn't you start him? Why wouldn't you bring him back and say, hey, let's see what he's got before we get to the end of the season?
The dude has got some experience in the postseason. I know that, as we said, I don't want to be negative as if it's an impossibility. This could never happen. It just, when you went through the bizarre set of circumstances where, you know, again, felt something funny with his ankle just after he first started to throw again, and then, bam, another Achilles. This would be unbelievable. Talking about Stetson Bennett, an unbelievable story where he battled back from being a guy that was left for dead on the roster with Georgia. This would be an amazing story if you can actually contribute to this pennant race because, as we said, Odorizzi, and we got the soundbite. You want to play it, Chris, Odorizzi talking about knowing that, you know, what's expected of him. You're in a pennant race. He's come from the Astros organization. We got Will. What if I told you we got Will Smith off the roster, Carl, but nobody wins this trade? Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thrown the ball the way I'm capable of here. There's no sugarcoating it, and it's frustrating, especially, you know, new guy coming over, you know, wanting to make an impact and do well. So it's you know, nobody's tougher on me than me, and I'll continue to be that way. I've always been that way in my career, and I think it's, you know, got me to this point of just, you know, never being satisfied and being honest with myself.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's hard for me to say he's a complete flop in the two starts we've seen him in, but he hasn't looked good. Three, thank you, Chris. He hasn't looked good. So right now, jury is out for me with Jake Odorizzi. Last night, Mike, after the rain delay, he came back. I thought he pitched much better after the delay than he did to start the game. So is that the guy that we can get here moving forward? I hope so. But this was supposed to be reinforcements when you talk about stretching this rotation, maybe giving some guys some off days, additional off days, if you wanted to do that, or even just having additional choices with Odorizzi being added. We didn't necessarily need a six-man rotation, but that's what it may look like. And here's the other thing. If Soroka is able to come back, it even adds more intrigue to this, to your point about, okay, what do you want to do? Because if Soroka makes his way back up, and he looks good, Mike, in September. You got decisions to make now when you talk about how your starting rotation is going to look.
Well, I certainly like what I saw from Bryce Elder, right? I got no problem giving him another shot in the pennant race, right? I mean, this dude looked like pretty solid. I know that I don't want to be too mean-spirited on Odorizzi, but, man, giving up three home runs in back-to-back, including to Beatty last night, that was ugly.
Let's talk to Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Dave, good to have you back on the show. Appreciate the time. I know it's busy this last game against the Mets. I want to start first with this Soroka thing. We're talking about it. Is it realistic that we see Mike Soroka in September with the Braves?
Yeah. I mean, all along, that was the plan, you know, to have him pitching in some games, you know, at least a couple of games at the end of the year to, you know, for his own peace of mind, to feel good going into the offseason, and for the Braves to know where he is because, you know, I fully expect them to tender him a contract, but it's certainly going to make it easier, you know, having him pitch in games and knowing that he's going to be a factor next spring and, you know, as far as competing for a rotation spot. So, yeah, he surpassed all my expectations in that. I know it's just A ball hitters, but that was impressive. I mean, he was throwing some nasty sinkers. His velo was up around basically normal. So that was really impressive. If that's a sign of things to come for him to do that in his first time out in about 2 years, basically, you know, other than one spring training game with pitch in relief, that had to be encouraging for everyone.
Speaking of Schaefer, signs of things to come, I mean, you got much of this team locked up for forever, seemingly. How surprised or not surprised were you the Michael Harris deal got done?
Not surprised that anything Alex does with it, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've been talking about it on the podcast that we do. I've been saying since the second or third week he was here, I said, I'd sign this guy now because there's just no questions about this kid. You know, it's as closest to a sure thing as you can possibly have in that when you're around him and you interview him and you see him interact and everything, you know there's no question about his character, what he's going to be 5 years from now. I mean, he's just a solid guy. And then on the field, I mean, since day one, he's been the best center fielder in the National League, in my opinion. And nobody expected him to hit like he has. And he's shown that it's not fluky because he continues to do it. And the opposite field power and just everything. I mean, the only thing he hasn't done is draw a lot of walks. He's got a low walk rate. If that's the only sign, only weakness for a kid who's the youngest player in the majors, then sign him up because he's only going to get more expensive. They got a hell of a deal. I mean, that's potentially, if he'd have gone through the whole free agent process and all that and just kept getting better, you know, from what he projects to be based on what he is now. I mean, you're talking about a guy that would have been, you know, 6-8 years from now, the way the salaries are going, you're talking about a guy that's been more of a $30 million a year player. And they're going to get him for, you know, 10 years for $102 million.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's way below market value.
You're getting a hell of a deal if his potential continues to go in the direction that we think it is. It's Dave O'Brien, guys, talking about our Braves tonight. It's DeGrom. It is Max Fried. I want to ask you about Austin Riley. He said,
you know, just on Harris, I said this something the other day. I tweeted and I meant it. he's a bargain if he doesn't get any better than he is right now.
You're right.
If he plays like this for 10 years, he was a huge bargain.
You're right. There's no doubt, Dave. Yeah. And here's the deal. We know his upside is more, though. He can even be better. But I totally agree.
Oh, he's going to get better and better.
Let me ask you about Riley. Austin Riley came out and said when he signed that he knew this is where he wanted to be. And then part of his comment was he's seen other guys – you know, not get the deals. And, of course, I felt like he was talking about Freddie. Do you think the Freddie situation, I don't want to say scared him, but made him kind of think twice about his own situation here with the Braves when he got offered the 10-year, $212 million deal?
I don't know how much of a factor it was, but I'm sure, I mean, he obviously talks to Freddie. He knows Freddie very well. He saw Freddie crying at here and knows Freddie did not want to leave. So he wasn't going to let that happen to him. But, you know, he wasn't in the situation Freddie was. He still had a long time to go before free agency. So it wasn't up against it like Freddie was. So there was never any danger of his agent not, you know, communicating to the Braves exactly how much he wanted to be here. But I think he's just a country guy, a simple guy, and he didn't need to have – he knows he could have made a lot more money if he'd gone through the whole process. But he'd rather just have no stress. He's got $200 million coming to him. I mean, it's not just generational money. It's like, you know, generation after generation after generation. And if you invest wisely, it's just ridiculous how much money that is. So he knew he didn't need to have any more than that. And now this is where he wants to be. He's from down here. So if you can get it locked up, not have to worry about about anything the rest of your career other than playing, then why not do it? So, you know, again, he's a guy that left potentially, you know, more than $100 million on the table.
Right.
But he's getting over $200
million. Yeah.
Alex is smart. Alex is not taking advantage of these guys. But he's taking advantage of some situations where he got Acuna signed up, young kid, knowing that he wants that security, knowing his background, knowing that the allure of that security might be able to get the guy signed up and Acuna on the back end of that. Who knows if he becomes if he stays healthy and becomes one of the best five players in baseball, which we think he'd be, then he's a $40 million a year player, you know, and he's never going to make more than $17 million. Mm-hmm. And then he signs Albies like a week later, 2 weeks later, his best friend, you know? So Alex gets a good read of the room on these things and doesn't wait, because if Acuna had played another couple of years and he's regarded as one of the best players in baseball and he's on these commercials and MLB Network and all this, then he wouldn't have signed a deal like that. So he did it when he could do it. And Alex is good about not wasting time, you know, the Freddie Freeman situation notwithstanding. But these young guys, he's great about getting them signed up and saving the team a boatload of money. I mean, it's going to allow them to fill in with, you know, when they need to sign a free agent starting pitcher for a year for $20 million, or they need to get a bridge guy at this position for a year and overpay him like they did Josh Donaldson that year. They've got enough money now that they can do that because they're so set at like five positions where they're going to be paying guys way under market value or all-star caliber players.
Hey, real quick, Dave, before we cut you loose, it's our man, Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Are we ever going to see Marcell Ozuna out there again? He's kind of in timeout.
I don't know. It's four straight days. You know, I think Snit probably just finally realized, you know, with Grossman here hitting like he is right now, it's like, why keep running the guy out there just because he's making the money? I mean, they got to pay him, but that doesn't mean they have to play him. You know, I mean, he's here for depth. If somebody gets hurt, then he's there. But in the meantime, with Grossman hitting and Eddie Rosario kind of coming around, and why would you keep running him out there? So I don't think they need to. And you got, you know, Contreras is a hell of a hitter. He's just so much a better hitter than Ozuna is. So, cap tip to Snit. I mean, he gave it a long time. He gave him more than two-thirds of the season to get it together, and he hasn't. So, you know, they're going to have to pay the guy. They're paying the money, but that doesn't mean they have to keep running him out there and reminding everybody how bad he is.
It's our buddy Dave O'Brien for The Athletic. Mike and I have been discussing this. I want to get your opinions before we let you go. The bullpen situation last night. Snit has said he will not use Jansen unless it's a tie situation or we're, you know, one run lead. Did you have any issues with the way the bullpen was handled last night once we got back into the game with the selection of the guys we went with? I know Braves fans were kind of losing their mind. Why are we going with this guy or that guy? How would you answer that, Dave?
Well, Stevens is the only guy that I had a problem with, just because he's not been him. He's not been the guy. They're acting like he was the guy he was a month ago,
right?
Because he was really good for a couple of months, and he's not now. I mean, he's kind of come back to reality. So I thought pitching him in that situation in a one-run game, I would have used just about anybody but him there. But they didn't have a whole lot of guys left, and I'm not using my closer when I'm down a run. I'm not going to start doing that. I don't have a problem with him not using his closer in the eighth inning down a run. I mean, it's one thing, you know, people didn't even use a closer if they were tied, you know, until they got the lead. But he's come around on that and uses his closer all the time when it's tied at home, whatever. I mean, but when you start bringing him in when you're losing the game, I don't think that that's very productive, especially at his age, because you use Kenley for 20 pitches last night when you're down a run. He probably can't pitch tonight, you know, depending on how he feels. But I mean, he's not 24. So, but you got two guys now with him and Rysell, and two closers, two damn good closers, and Mentor, who's a closer type guy, closer caliber guy. So I don't really think there's any excuse why you have to use Stevens in a one run game
right.
like that.
Exactly.
You know, with the guys that you do have now.
Exactly.
All right, man. Great stuff. Dave, enjoy the game tonight, man, and we always appreciate the time. Check out Dave O'Brien's stuff on The Athletic, guys. Appreciate you, Dave.
All right, see ya.
Cool. Dave O'Brien. We pushed our man Grant McCauley back. He'll join us at 6. Mike and I are going to come back. We're going to talk about this Deshaun Watson thing. Is he innocent? It's Dukes and Bell.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Earth, Wind, and Fire with Santana Wednesday, August 24th at Lakewood Amphitheater. Stay tuned. We'll give those away coming up. Grant McCauley is going to join us 6 o'clock as we get ready for the final game of this Mets-Braves series, and we'll get Grant's opinion on how this thing's going to look tonight. I don't know, Mike. Two great pitchers going. Could be a low-scoring game. Maybe we crack the safe. That is Jake DeGrom. Maybe we score a lot of runs. You just don't know.
Yeah, I just know that other than Dansby, as we said, he's a no-hitter, and he's not 100% too. DeGrom is really working at 70 by his standards, 75 to 80%, according to their manager, Buck Showalter. So still, I did not like last. I'm really upset with the way that ninth inning was managed. I agree with our man, Dave O'Brien. I think you've got to go with Iglesias. We battle back in just to blow it up in the top of the ninth.
Well, it's best-on-best situations, and we didn't necessarily do that in a game that was winnable last night. Meanwhile, let's talk about what's going on in the NFL, because the big news today, guys, is it's official. Deshaun Watson suspended for 11 games. Remember, it was six initially. He is fined $5 million after a settlement between the NFL and the NFLPA. His agent put out a statement today saying Deshaun has always stated he is innocent of sexual assault. Nothing has changed. And he goes on to talk about moving forward, and now this allows him to move forward with his life and his career. I don't know about necessarily being innocent in all of this. What I will tell you guys, though, is that Deshaun Watson is the reason that he's in this situation. This is on him. This is his fault. He made silly and dumb decisions, Mike, that put him in this situation. And it's basically cost him 2 years of his prime, okay? Now, I know quarterbacks are playing to their 40s,
right,
but the fact is, by the time he gets back in late November, you're talking about all, you know, two full seasons in which he hadn't played. So he's going to miss the first 11 games. But let's talk about this suspension, because the other thing that he has to do, Mike, and you were talking about this, is that he has to, according to this settlement, he's got to comply with treatment recommendations of a third-party behavioral expert to be reinstated. So once he has the date to be reinstated and he can start practicing again in October, and then we get to November, he's also got to go through this compliance situation to be reinstated. So the NFL has added, and again, they came to this agreement that these are some things he's got to come to. But you said this is window dressing.
Yeah, it is all it is. I mean, he's going to go, he'll have the rigmarole. It's like when I had to go to anger management here. Right?
What are you saying? You're still angry?
No. After the first five sessions, the doc's like, okay, just show up and we'll clock you out.
So you're saying it didn't work?
Well, I thought there was some improvement for a while. But I'm just...
What are you saying?
Do you think I'm better with my anger management?
No, you're much better.
Thank you.
No, you're much better. I will agree with that. There was a time...
Oh, shut up, Chris.
There was a time where you would be unhinged fairly quickly.
Right.
Now it's 10 minutes later.
So it takes a little bit longer for Vesuvius to blow. No, I just think, look, Deshaun Watson hasn't even admitted he did anything wrong. He gave you the worst perfunctory apology. They literally say, okay, somebody said, look, you got to do an apology. Let's knock it out. Oh, we'll do it over here in a hallway at the hotel we're staying at. Let's get somebody from our own team's website to do the hard Q&A. And then you do this like...
Does he need to apologize?
I think he needs to do like an Oprah-type deal. Or I mean, the old days, you go on Roy Firestone and cry. Right?
Yeah.
Do that. But do something where at least you... Again, this is America. All you have to do is, Jimmy Swaggart, I sinned against you. Just apologize. Just throw yourself on the mercy of folks.
Why you got to use Swaggart, though?
Well, it's the first one that popped in my head. I was listening to Ozzy today. He had a song about him. But no, I just all you have to do is go on TV, look at the camera, and goes, I made some terrible decisions. Just own it. He's half-assed everything since the jump on this. That's what's driving me crazy. And then the NFL half-asses the penalty because their whole discipline system is so convoluted. They can't even get it right.
I want you to hear Watson. He did take a few questions today, and then it was, you have to leave. Because he's not even allowed at the facility, guys, the way this works. So literally, he's on the field, he's practicing, this comes down, you're done. We'll see you in, you know, 11 weeks. Actually, he'll be back at the facility in late October to start getting ready for his return. But this is what he was asked about, whether this was a fair or unfair punishment.
I can't speak on the fairness. I only can really control what I can control. And that's, you know, throughout this process, you know, the NFL did what they had to do. And the NFLPA, you know, communicated with the legal side. Like I said before, I focused on, you know, being out here, being the best teammate and football player and quarterback I can for the Cleveland Browns. And I let the legal side handle their side.
You must have an opinion on.
Yeah, they pushed him. They were trying to push him.
Right.
He said, and this is a quote, I'll continue to stand on my innocence. Just because you know settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything.
But I thought he said he apologized to the women he impacted. And he didn't, I mean, like I said, what are you talking about here?
Well, he released a statement today that said he apologized to the people that were triggered by this.
Triggered. By this. So you pull your Johnson out in a massage session and they're triggered?
Johnson!
You know, again, I know he's a local kid, and we've given him more than the benefit of the doubt in the last 18 months. Stupid.
I don't think he was pulling it out there. Like, I think it was already
well,
out.
I was going to say, just move the towel over.
I don't think. I mean, when you've got a washcloth.
Don't you want some of this?
when you've got a washcloth and you come in.
Sorry, we're not on TV. See, Bally, this is the kind of content you could have on your TV right now. You don't want any of this? No, so in this case, he doesn't get it. He hasn't gotten it.
Were
and because just, the league doesn't
were you
get discipline.
That death?
No, I was doing pelvic thrust. I'm a method actor. So the league doesn't get it right. Most people say it's ridiculous. They haven't got anything right. From Ben Roethlisberger to Ray Rice to this crap. And this is on Roger Goodell. So are you really protecting the Shield? No, you're not. Shame on everybody.
Hey, Cleveland, get ready for Jacoby Brissett. All right, man, it's done. I'm actually glad.
I'm over this. I was over this story 6 months ago.
I'm glad it's done. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley, Braves, Mets. We'll get a game update and what to expect tonight with Grant coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.